Hello, thank you for being with us here on New Life, the series of educational discussions with Rav Lightman. Hello, Rav. Hello. Hello, Tal.
Hello.
We're going to be discussing with Rav today about being the nation of the book. It's an expression that we carry with us for thousands of years, but the book itself, the Tanakh, the Torah, is something that we carry with us. And we are interested in today even more than before. It's come to throughout all the years. There are different ways that we relate to it. The book of books here in the whole world is all made up and wrapped mystery. We would like to enter with Rav Lightman inwards and understand what's in it that will even today bring us to that better place. How we bring it brings us to a new life. Tal, please. Tal, for me, the discussion today, and in general, the thing that we talk about the book, about our nation, the discussion about ourselves and our essence. And I feel like many people are kind of like missing in this equation. And what can express the state that we're in, that we live with many contradictions, many blocks in our understanding that maybe, and just inevitably, without understanding, if today, if we were trying to decipher somewhat the, and kind of like look at the topic, so if we look at the Bible, I grew up as a secular. I learned it as some kind of literary creation, and a few of the things. We had to develop some of the things here and there, how the songs and so on. So I'm a very dry, technical way, and not a lot of it remained. Whereas in the religious education, it's a historical book that what happened and so on. And also there are many different places. And probably there's also a question of whether it was exactly like that historically. So there are a lot of contradictions, many interpretations, many commentaries, and a lot of contradiction on the topic. And still this book is considered the foundation of the identity of the people of Israel. Meaning, even if we don't understand what's written there exactly and don't agree with it, you just can't get rid of it. It's accompanied us for so many years, and it's something that's very connected to our essence, and we understand that it's very important. So I would be very happy if today we could somehow see what is so important in this book that is so much so in the center of our identity, and why is it so hard for us to get to give up on it, and if we don't really understand it. I grew up not in a secular or an orthodox education, because I grew up in an education that's not this or that, where it was just materialistic. There's this world, we're living like animals, we're born, we live, and die. And that's basically the atheistic. Well, that's life, no? It's like no more than that. If you can and you're capable to benefit in some way to yourself, then please, you can arrange this life in a better way. And there are different struggles in this and different opinions. And then there's things develop, ones to the good, ones to the bad. And that's life, that's the world. And when I started, but the distress inside of knowing, of wanting to know the secret of life, because everything we have in nature has a reason and has a purpose. Nothing is done just like that. Nature is very deterministic, very persistent, very precise. The more we learn about it and study it, we more and more see that it's like that. And there are things that we don't know. There are things that we don't. It's not a matter of whether it doesn't exist, but it's just it's a blemish in our knowledge, in my study. And in a few years, maybe in another 10 years, maybe in another 100 years, or 1,000 years, but even that could be reached. Meaning there are no boundaries to the development of man. We're going to reach the planets and to any place. We'll study all that there is. What's before our feet and what's above in the heavens. That's how I grew up. And that's why I came to the wisdom of Kabbalah with a truly materialistic question. What is life? What's the secret of life? For me, I went to study biocybernetics, which was my profession in the that I studied in the university. And I graduated and started to prepare myself towards a doctorate and more other things. And I saw that all of that was just a engagement with no benefit. And then all the strength to deal with it just disappeared from me. And that's it. And then I came to Israel. I immigrated to Israel. I did Aliyah. And here too, I started somewhat in the Weizmann Institute, also according to my profession. I saw that it is just destructive work, that you work there for hundreds of hours and with what? Once again, in the same technical matters, without studying and researching the secret of life, which was really important for me. Because nevertheless, where does this come from and where is it going? We're in the middle. We see here some fragment, very small fragment of the whole process. I want to know the whole process. And even beyond that, what's the reason that preceded it and what the result that it's going to come out of it. And then, a year and a half after I came, everyone said to me, with such questions, you need to go to the religious people. They know, they deal with those things. Go to there. I really went to the different factions there, to different trainings, and within a few months I saw that it's all limited, and it's all just in order to know what you should observe, and you just need to do that, and don't ask any more than that, and even if you just lower your head and just do and don't ask any questions, it's good, and by doing so, you're more devoted, more obedient, and devoted to doing his desire, like a servant. A servant is considered to do as the Creator has commanded on you to do. Now, if I weren't to continue onwards, I would leave completely. But what helped me was that I was amongst people in Rehovot, such people that and during those times there weren't many people who were doing tshuva, the repentance into orthodoxy, and I was really burning. And other than that, I really helped them. And then they did a certain meeting between them, and they asked what to do with such a case. And in Rehovot, there was a Rav named Rav Führer. He was from Holland. And and he said to them, you need to find him someone who deal with some of the internality of the Torah. He said there are some souls, even though he wasn't like that, but there are souls that need it. And then they took me to Jerusalem to Rav Zilberman. That was during that same time that Uri Zohar came to him and several others like him. And I studied there with him maybe for half a year. He would come to me to Rehovot also during that time. My son studied with him in the seminary in the Cheder, according to special education of Ramchal there. It was actually a very special place there. And I studied with him already. From him I heard, we studied the Zavrat Tzniuta of the Agra, San Kabbalah. Other than that, I studied in parallel the Babylonian Talmud, different things, a little lighter things and more heavy things, and to the point where I saw that too is not sufficing. Because also him, he's saying, let's just be sufficient with this, let's be sufficient with that. And that's why I started to search onwards. At one point I was in Tel Aviv and I went with my business travels to somewhere and I saw a big notice, a big announcement, a study for the wisdom, a Kabbalah, an institute. I immediately went there. I remember where it was. I went there. I came. I bought from them all the books, like the Julio. I filled my car with all the books that they had. And I came to, I signed up for the course. I went to one lecture. And that's it. More than that, I didn't go. I just told them, where is the manager? I wanted to talk to him. Well, they saw that I'm really serious, and they said, we'll be here and there, and come. So I came to that place. He was there. I don't remember what he was doing there, but because he would only come once in a while, and he'd also give a lesson. I spoke to him. I said, I wanted to study in a serious manner, not like here, with the guys and girls and all that. And it's like a cup of coffee, and they're passing their time. It was in Bukhreshov in Tel Aviv, and that's it. And he says, okay, come. And I started to come to him. I was with him. I'd come to him at 5 o'clock in the morning. I came to study with him, and then I'd with him. But he took maybe 2 or 3 others, guys that would there were like teachers there in the institute. And we studied with them, and afterwards I said, I want to study alone. So he said, okay. Let's say we studied Monday and Thursday with them, and you'll come Tuesday and Wednesday. So I would come to him at 5 o'clock in the morning and study. After, I don't know, maybe 2 weeks, maybe 3-4 times I was there with him, I saw that it's not Kabbalah. It's getting to know your face and your hand reading and the sun and all kinds of incarnation. It was something that was, I just feel it within, whether it's truth or not, whether it clothes on me or not. If it doesn't clothe me, I just can't enter into it. And it's like a certain very deep inner criticism in me, even stronger than me. And if that point doesn't agree, I can't do anything with it. Truly like that. I am under its control of this point. And I left. I said, I have a lot of work now, I have problems, and I left. And that's it. But from time to time, they'd invite me to a wedding there, just one of the teachers got married, and so on. And so, once every so many months, there was something going on there. And so, it's really a wonder that when I bought all the books of Baal HaSulam from him, and I didn't feel like thinking that he has students, that he has relatives, that I can find them. It's no problem in Israel. It's a small country. After all, you can find. I don't know. That was kind of disconnected from myself. And but with that, I would study in the evening. I found a friend, and we would study in the evening all these books. I don't know what exactly, how much we understood it, but we studied. And it was actually somehow attractive. Other than Baal HaSulam, we also studied other things, also the Ari and Ramak and Ramchal. And a little bit of Agra. And
Rak Yom Echad
Only one day I said to him, let's go travel. Look, in Nebak for someone. How much can we sit here like this? And it's good for us. We're sitting at home. It's coffee and it's nice, but in the evenings and studying. But we need someone to direct us. And we traveled to Nebak. It was in the winter, rainy. I remember the weather was really bad, but we traveled there. And by incident there, we're asking them, where do we learn Kabbalah here? So one religious man like that with all his regalia says, you turn now left, and to the end of the road, that's where they learn Kabbalah. So we drove there, and that's when I found Rabash, the elder son of the firstborn son of Bala Sulam. So I did a spin of maybe 3 years from 1975 to 1979 until I found him. And when I started to study there, immediately the moment I sat down and they started to explain to me what is written in those books that I was studying, well, it was the preface to the study of Kabbalah. That's what we started to learn. Immediately I started to feel, oh, that point in my heart is coming down. That's why what I'm trying to say is, if a person has that inner demand, then he doesn't leave. And he won't sell it. And anyone who doesn't is basically operated from that same point, actually. Every one of us is searching for the essence or the meaning of life. But until he finds it in money, honor, knowledge, other things also, whatever there is. That's why, from this point, also a person looks at the Bible, where each sees in it what he wants. If he's studying, let's say, to be a lawyer, and then he looks in there and sees the rules, the laws. There are many rules and laws there. The whole Talmud is actually rules and laws. And they study a lot of it. Actually, lawyers like a lot to talk also in the language of the Bible. And yes, they like to quote. Yes, for them it's considered, whoever studies history, that he takes from there is something that suits him. But no one other than the Kabbalists, first of all, doesn't understand it, which is written, and doesn't agree with the whole book and with its whole depth and wholeness, and doesn't feel it or feel that text or that book, and is not just calm with what is written, because you always can ask questions that, well, that's written. Well, I saw this kind of excuse and that excuse, but their excuse is not that with the text of the Bible he flows with it, where he and the Bible are in some unity, some friendship, I would even say, an embrace, where the Bible lives in him, where he has no contradictions from the Bible, but that when he reads it, he understands, knows, feels, he tastes what it's called the Ta'amei Torah, the taste flavors of the Torah. And he tastes how it works. Such people are only the Kabbalists, and also it's those that invested much in their inner change, where they could overcome and rise above their earthly nature. And they themselves are the only ones that understand what the secret, which is in the Bible, that it's not a historical book at all, and not geography, and not something that is written about some relationships between us that need to be, maybe some kind of book on values and ethics, family life, some kind of traditions, nothing. It's also not the book of laws of the 613 commandments that are thought of to be taken out of there. But this is, in the eyes of Kabbalists, the book of life, meaning a person that opens his inner qualities and rises above his nature, which is completely egoistic, the will to receive, above it, towards altruism, towards the desire to bestow. All of a sudden he opens a new channel of perception, thought, and feeling. And in that he lives in an embrace with the Bible. Because the Bible explains to him how you now, as you have risen to this degree, this spiritual degree, as we call it, above the regular relationship that people have that live, how you can flow with that flow. It's like a river where a person truly, with joy and with pleasures that are supreme pleasures that he discovers, and with all this that he reveals there, how he truly he flows with it, in it. And that's why only those people understand what the Bible is. And even though many commentaries were written, there are dozens and hundreds of commentaries, no matter how many, and also Kabbalists wrote commentaries and interpretations, and philosophers write interpretations, and who not? Anyone who comes and does some kind of doctorate in philosophy or something like that takes and interprets it however he feels like. It's nevertheless a book that many touch, but that is all not belonging here, because really a person can discover only or reveal only if he raises himself to a degree in which the Bible was sealed or written, which is a level of all the authors of the Bible. They were all in degrees of bestowal of the other nature. Degrees of what? Degrees of the second nature, the nature of bestowal and not the nature of reception. What does that mean? Well, it's they basically had qualities that were out, they acquired qualities that were outside their own nature. And the language itself, Baal HaSulam explains to us, in the, not in the introduction, but in inner observation of first part of the study of Ten Tefillot, his main book, he explains there what the language of branches is in which all the books, the holy books, are written. And of course the Bible, all the, what we call the holy books. And he explains that, of course, one should not search for something within the texts. But if anyone wants to be a doctor to some in something, in the linguistics or philosophy or whatever there is, then he should search for different formulas there. That's his matter, just like a lawyer takes out of there something. But if anyone wants to see the truth, meaning to what is truly told to us by the authors of the Bible, then he must also be in the recognition of the language, which is called the language of branches. Meaning he needs to reach the roots, the upper roots, and what they talk about, which are already in a world that is completely a world of bestowal. Let's say the second floor, the second degree above us. And this, through by reading the text, he immediately, as he reads it, which was written in Hebrew, and somewhat in Aramaic, it could be. It's the same thing. It's a language and its opposite. And he needs to also, according to these words, to discover these roots in the second degree, in the upper world. And then he will see in these words, in these letters, in the form of the letters, in the this combination between them that is there, he will see a very deep wisdom. But once again, it's only for those people that have been through the proper and right preparation in order to reach and feel that that second degree, meaning the quality of bestowal, to live within it. And then what they read, they understand and feel and live it. And you are all alive today. Okay, that's fascinating, the whole potential that exists here. We only have very little time here, so I really wanted to ask, this book is the book of our nation. We are the nation of the book. We're not the nation of the book. The book belongs to us, but we need to open it. We are now in exile from the book, in exile from that second degree. We need to reach a state in which we truly ascend to that state which is all bestowal, love of others, love of the world, and then we will understand what's written in that book. Without the quality of love, without the quality of connection between us, the mutual guarantee, we won't be able to open the book correctly. Meaning it's not supposed to be the virtue of a few. There's a certain fountain that should be for everyone. There was a period where it was only a virtue for individuals, and throughout all of history, it was since the days of Abraham and until the ruin of the temple, it was for all the people of Abraham, or the whole of the nation, all the group of Abraham which he assembled. And then since the ruin of the temple until the Ari, it was in concealment and only individuals engaged in it. Meaning there were tens, maybe hundreds, maybe even thousands, but no more than that in every generation. And now, once again, we are rising from the exile towards redemption, meaning in order to discover, to reveal the internality of the book. And we do that through connection and love. Through connection and love, which we attain only by the wisdom of Kabbalah. Because the light in it reforms. Thank you very much, Rav Lightman. We will want to do more discussions on this topic. It's fascinating, but our time is over. Thank you very much, Tal. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best. New life.